855-777-9785. Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Another very hot day today with a high temperature up to about 101. We should easily break the record high of 100. Rain chances are not zero, but under 20%. There's a backdoor cool front entering the state from Georgia. And, you know, could there be a stray shower somewhere along the front? I suppose. Tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, a noticeable improvement with highs around 90, tolerable humidity levels, and lows at night in the mid-60s. You'll feel the difference. Still dry, though. Then low to mid-90s Sunday, mid-90s on Monday and Tuesday, dry. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Check out ASC Credit Union's free Kasasa Cashback Checking Account. With cashback, you can earn 3% cashback on all purchases. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASC rep for more details. Federally insured by the NCUA. Online at yourascu.com. ASC Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. A triple shooting early Monday morning in Montgomery is now under investigation. Montgomery police found a man with a life-threatening gunshot wound in the 3600 block of Debbie Drive. Two other men showed up at the hospital with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds. No arrests have been made. Butler County School Superintendent Dr. John Stricker is leaving for another job. Stricker was unanimously named the new superintendent for Jackson County, Mississippi. He was one of 10 finalists for the position. Stricker has served as the Butler County School Superintendent for the last 2 years. And Kitty Seal, the founding artistic director of the Alabama Dance Theater, has died. She founded this organization back in 1986. Funeral arrangements have not been announced. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
I'm Taylor McNair, Miss Rodeo America, and Boot Barn and Wrangler have asked me to share my story. A lot of girls rodeo queening, they wonder why they crown a different girl every year, and that's because there is no perfect mold. We each bring something unique and different to the table, and so my main message is for girls to embrace your individuality and have confidence knowing who you are and what you want. Wrangler at Boot Barn, proud sponsors of Miss Rodeo America.
The Can-Am Off-Road Yellow Tag Sales Event is going on now. Hit the trails in the ultimate off-road vehicle. Can-Am is built for ripping through trails, crawling through mud, cruising over dunes, getting the job done, and saving you money. Stop by your local dealer during the Yellow Tag Sales Event and find a great deal or rebate on select Can-Am off-road vehicles today.
Join News Talk 93.1 on the Midway at the Alabama National Fair, October 4th through the 14th. Win free prizes. Meet the on-air personalities. See you at the Alabama National Fair, where News Talk 93.1.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
U.S. intelligence indicates the unprecedented attack on Saudi oil fields originated from Iran, using a combination of low-altitude cruise missiles and drones to evade radar.
The Minneapolis Police Department says there have been 240 robberies and one downtown precinct alone. It's within the context of a shortage of police officers in Minneapolis.
40-year-old California man died from what health officials there called severe pulmonary injury. It's the seventh death, together with hundreds of illnesses, recently linked to vaping.
Drivers may begin to notice higher prices at the pump after the attack on Saudi oil fields disrupted global supply. Prices could climb anywhere from 10 cents to 25 cents a gallon over the next few weeks.
Amazon Career Day held in six cities. Amazon's goal, hire 30,000 employees by early next year.
Seinfeld, one of the most popular sitcoms in TV history, is heading to Netflix in 2021.
Modern-day Little Red Hen may not appear to be a quotable authority on economics, but then some authorities on economics aren't worth quoting. About a year ago, I imposed a little poetry on you. It was called The Incredible Bread Machine and made a lot of sense with reference to matters economic. You didn't object too much, so having gotten away with it once, I'm going to try again. This is a little treatise on basic economics called The Modern Little Red Hen. Once upon a time, there was a little red hen who scratched about the barnyard until she uncovered some grains of wheat. She called her neighbors and said, "If we plant this wheat, we shall have bread to eat. Who will help me plant it?" "Not I," said the cow. "Not I," said the duck. "Not I," said the pig. "Not I," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. The wheat grew tall and ripened into golden grain. "Who will help me reap my wheat?" asked the little red hen. "Not I," said the duck. "Out of my classification," said the pig. "I'd lose my seniority," said the cow. "I'd lose my unemployment compensation," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen, and she did. At last it came time to bake the bread. "Who will help me bake bread?" asked the little red hen. "Oh, that'd be overtime for me," said the cow. "I'd lose my welfare benefits," said the duck. "I'm a dropout and never learned how," said the pig. "Well, if I'm to be the only helper, that's discrimination," said the goose. "Then I will," said the little red hen. She baked 5 loaves and held them up for her neighbors to see. They all wanted some, and in fact demanded a share. But the little red hen said, "No, I can eat the 5 loaves myself." "Excess profits," cried the cow. "Capitalist leech," screamed the duck. "I demand equal rights," yelled the goose. And the pig just grunted. And they painted unfair picket signs and marched round and round the little red hen, shouting obscenities. When the government agent came, he said to the little red hen, "You must not be greedy." "But I earned the bread," said the little red hen. "Exactly," said the agent. "That's the wonderful free enterprise system. Anyone in the barnyard can earn as much as he wants. But under our modern government regulations, the productive workers must divide their product with the idle." And they lived happily ever after, including the little red hen, who smiled and clucked, "I am grateful, I am grateful." But her neighbors wondered why she never again baked any more bread. I guess a lot of us have been wondering something like that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Dan Morris is down 79 points. Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
When I left here yesterday, temperature on my car was 102 degrees and on my phone was 101. I'm talking about temperature, not heat index. Temperature.
Whoa.
I know. The water is flying out of my swimming pool. You can sit there and watch it evaporate.
Yeah, according to Rich Thomas, it'll go down for a little bit tomorrow, but it'll go back up again. So
97 degrees right now in lovely Montgomery. We're supposed to hit a high of 99 today. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic.
I like fantastic. Fantastic's always
good.
How
you doing?
I'm good, except I got to wear this splint for another 7 days. I feel like Groundhog Day. It's like you have 7 more days of wearing the splint. Like
Did your doctor say extra steak to help get you through the week?
I said that. Self-diagnosis.
Extra steak, queso, Corona, all the
Yeah,
things.
Nobody gets hurt because we have some good football coming up this weekend with Auburn and Texas A&M.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. It's an early game, too. So, I mean, Alabama plays at 11. Auburn plays, I think, at 2:30. And then there's some big boy game on that night. Forgot what it was I was looking at last night. Planning out my time. The Braves lost last night by 1 run. They came back though. I thought they were doing great, and then they Phillies took the lead 5-2. They fall back to 5-4, but lost with 2 men on base. That was a shame. 272-9228, that's where we are. First-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. Want to get your name in for the drawing for the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket, but any caller can get in for that drawing. But if you're a first-time caller, you get put in twice. How about them apples? Sweet Creek Farm Market, great place to go. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies that she put in there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. Great place, by the way. It's just everything there is good. I will definitely be going down for peppers for the steak and some corn. And I think I'll see if they've got any more of those watermelon. That watermelon was really good, the last one I had. And just super juicy, super sweet. Let's see. So telephone number is 272-9228. Let's get into some stuff. This Brett Kavanaugh stuff, man, this thing's still kind of banging around. Let's go to, let's start, though, with Israel elections is uncertain. Let's listen in.
Elsewhere in the Middle East, the political fate of Israel's long-serving Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is uncertain this morning. Elections ended in an apparent tie between Netanyahu's party and that of his main challenger. Seth Doan is in Tel Aviv for us. Seth, what happens now?
At this point, it is just too close to call. Now, voting here is just the first step of this process. Now that backroom deal-making begins, and that's where really all of this fell apart the last time. This is not the outcome that that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu would have liked to have seen. Now we're seeing some scrambling to try to create a coalition government that could see political foes join forces. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu campaigned both times on his close relationship with President Trump and with America, and touted some of these major foreign policy wins, like the U.S. moving its embassy to Jerusalem. One other complicating factor in all of this, one other question, is the Trump administration's proposal for Mideast peace. It is not clear how the outcome of the election might affect that or possibly further delay the rollout of that possible peace plan. Now, this is not just about the political future of Netanyahu. He is also facing corruption charges, and Anthony, he would like to create a parliament that would protect him.
Yeah, protect him, because you remember they do an investigation into him and indicted him for abuse, but I think that's more of a opposition kind of deal there. You remember this happened last time, they said too close to call, and then they go, well, no, Netanyahu won. And then they go, they predicted Netanyahu was going to lose, and then he won, I think, about 3 points. But this time, it seems that it's just dead even there. So we'll see what happens with these guys. Saudi Arabia is ramping up security after the attack, and Mike Pompeo is there now.
The State Department posted a new advisory overnight warning Americans traveling to Saudi Arabia to exercise increased caution. Ian Lee is in Saudi Arabia's capital, that's Riyadh. Ian, here's a question. How are Saudi leaders responding to this attack?
Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman said this morning that the country is beefing up its defenses in the air and on the Gulf, just hours before officials here are expected to place blame directly on Iran. CBS News has learned from a senior U.S. official that Saudi Arabia's air defenses were pointed toward Yemen. The same official also claims that the radar tracks of those drones and missiles come from the opposite direction toward Iran. To make sure an attack like this doesn't happen again, Saudi Arabia has joined a U.S.-backed force to protect vital shipping lanes and oil facilities, while asking South Korea to help bolster air defenses. But Iran still denies responsibility, and it's important to remember that both of these countries view each other as regional rivals. They've been fighting proxy wars in Syria and Yemen for years, and tensions escalated recently when Iran started seizing foreign oil tankers. If Iran is responsible for the attack, it's the first time they've directly hit Saudi Arabia. We're expecting to get Secretary Pompeo's reaction when he holds a press conference later tonight.
So they're kind of beefing things up. It seems that right now, I kind of have a sense that the administration is not going to do a whole lot of things here. Lindsey Graham kind of said, if you don't go in, you know, you're doing the wrong thing. And Trump tweeted that, strength, you have to show your strength. And the Trump tweeted a kind of a presidential level thing. Strength is impatience. And
yes.
I'm like, that's pretty good.
And I completely agree with the president on that, especially considering the Saudis have now got their oil processing plant back up and running, and they're going to be producing an excess, like 2.5 million more barrels a day than they were before the attack.
There you go.
So how do you like them apples, Ron?
There you go. Got a plus-plus situation here. I like that. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show on a Wednesday, 272-9228. That's where we are. You know, we had this Brett Kavanaugh stuff, but the other thing that's kind of interesting is the IG is actually up on the Hill today testifying before the Government Oversight Committee. And we're going to hopefully be getting some reports on that. Before I get into any of that information, let's go to Red Top. Red Top, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
this situation with Iran is very interesting, and especially considering the lack of response. I think the whole thing has been brilliantly planned, and Iran's really acting like a very desperate power right now, aren't they?
Well, it's kind of like what they're doing is they're toning so see if somebody will react, so then they can, you know, we had a caller yesterday, I think it was spot on. I think they kind of want a conflict to get the people's mind off of what's going on and the problems in Iran, and then blame everything on the United States.
Oh, yeah. And thank goodness we have a president that's much smarter than they are that is not going to fall for this. Otherwise, we would have been already in conflict a couple times, because this is a repeating theme that they keep going through, and the fact that we don't respond probably frustrates them more and ramps up all the world attention against them. So I think it's a brilliant plan that's working. I think it's by design, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the concept of the sanctions is certainly getting their attention and doing what it's intended to do. But imagine if George W. Bush were president. How quick would the missiles have been launched?
Oh, they'd have gone already a long time ago.
Yeah.
Or if John McCain was there, we would have been at war a long time ago.
Well, and the object of the game is to get Iran to drop their nuclear program. It's not to go do harm to Iran.
And Donald Trump has made that as clear as he can. So, I saw on DW News and BBC the other night a lot of interviews inside Iran in Tehran, and 7 out of 10 people are downright pissed off at the government. They're tired of it.
Yeah.
So, I was surprised that they were even that outspoken to the media. But you know, the Iranian people are not like the Sunnis and all this kind of stuff. They're very westernized type people, and they're getting real tired of it. So I hope this is going to be the end of this religious situation going on, because this religious Islamic stuff is really, they do want to end the world. They want us to go Old Testament. Sorry, me and Joey the Catholics want to hang around a little longer. Roll Tide, go Trump. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Roll Tide. News Time 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we'll be back after this.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
.27 2922A, that's where we are. We had a situation that happened over in Georgia that has an interesting twist to it. There were three teenagers who were killed in a potential stand your ground case over in Conyers, Georgia, that's right outside of Atlanta. I want you to listen to this story, because the police, one of the things they're going to say, this was not racially motivated, and listen to why they said it's not racially motivated, but this is, listen to the ages of these folks.
The deadly shooting of three Georgia teenagers is being investigated as a potential stand-your-ground case. Investigators say the three boys were wearing masks and fired first during an attempted robbery Monday morning. National correspondent Jerika Duncan is outside the Rockdale County Sheriff's Office in Conyers, Georgia, east of Atlanta. Jerika, what do we know about this confrontation?
Well, still very little at this hour. Authorities have not released the name of the teenagers or the alleged shooter. The sheriff here says that he doesn't believe this was a racially motivated shooting because he says everyone involved is black. Now, two of the suspects were reportedly brothers, all range in age from 15 to 16 years old.
Good Lord.
15 to 16 years old.
Wow.
In mass, firing at a guy that you can later find out was in his yard. 15 to 16 years old. So they didn't know who they were messing with.
Right.
And this guy had a weapon, and he pulls it, listen, living at mama's house. Listen in.
Kept his hand on his wound, and he said, I'm dying.
Brian Jenkins lives two houses away from where the shooting occurred.
Look, that voice I will always remember. This young man perhaps died on my lawn.
He says he heard gunshots and found one of the teenagers bleeding out. Officials say around 4 a.m. Monday, the three teenage boys approached the home with plans to rob it. One of the teenagers allegedly fired the first shot at three people on the lawn before the homeowner returned fire. Signs on the property clearly state that trespassers may be shot.
Could possibly be a stand your ground type of case. They did discover mask on the young men. Again, that rose our suspicion.
Police say one of the teenagers died before police arrived. The other two died at the hospital. Neighbors say the man who shot the teens lives with his mother.
I know him very well. He's a very good man.
He felt as though he had no recourse but to defend himself. And that's exactly what happened.
None of the residents in that neighborhood were injured. Obviously, this is still an ongoing investigation. No charges have been filed yet.
Okay. I'm not sure what the big deal is. I mean, right. Okay, you have three kids, teenagers, 15, 16, wearing masks, firing at somebody.
Right.
That's all I need to know. And I've got a pistol. Yeah, I'm returning
fire. Especially when you're on your own property.
Yeah.
And you're the only person there, and you know your mother's in the house. Yeah, I think this is clearly self-defense.
I mean, this is the classic castle law here, yeah. If anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's kind of like a question. And then it's not racially motivated because they're all African-American.
Right.
I mean, just let the facts be the facts. I mean, it's a very interesting story. I'm glad that CBS is saying something about it. But this kind of, you know, we talk about Chicago a lot. Atlanta's got its own issues there, without a doubt. But this is where the problem is right here. 15 and 16-year-old with pistols.
And that's incredibly tragic that those young men went that direction. But it can't happen. Don't fool yourself that 15, 16-year-olds aren't capable of doing something like that. They are, especially if they don't have, well, the right upbringing or the right role models.
Well, and here in Montgomery, we say that all the time. You know, a 15-year-old, 16-year-old was a shooter type thing. I had a friend of mine that was killed by someone, and the watch person was 13.
Man.
That was doing the lookout. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you're like me, you probably have a couple of shoeboxes full of old home movies or VHS tapes your dad took when you were a kid, right? And you've been wanting to convert them to DVD to preserve them, but don't want to ship them off to an out-of-town company. Well, you don't have to. Dan Black Studios here in Montgomery can convert them for you in their facility. Dan Black's been in business for over 35 years, and he does a great job at an affordable price. Call Dan Black today at 334-279-6036.
This is Ryan Turner with Infusion Wellness Center. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for about 3 years now, and it's a great way to get your name out there and reach the people your business needs to grow and succeed. Highly recommended.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump named State Department hostage negotiator Robert O'Brien as his new national security advisor. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham serves on the Foreign Relations Committee and says it's a good pick.
He's got great negotiating skills as our hostage negotiator, and I think he'll be a very sound policy advisor to the President of the United States.
O'Brien replaces John Bolton and will be the President's fourth national security advisor. The president says the administration is revoking California's right to set its own auto emissions standards, saying it'll make cars cheaper and safer.
California's received a waiver from the EPA for years, allowing it to have stricter vehicle emission standards. Car makers have complied, and the state's latest demands have been for more zero emission and electric cars. Several other states follow California's standard.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal in Los Angeles, California's attorney general, says they'll take it to court. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Another very hot day today with a high temperature up to about 101. We should easily break the record high of 100. Rain chances are not zero, but under 20%. There's a backdoor cool front entering the state from Georgia, and, you know, could there be a stray shower somewhere along the front? I suppose. Tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, a noticeable improvement with highs around 90, tolerable humidity levels, and lows at night in the mid-60s. You'll feel the difference. Still dry, though. Then low to mid-90s Sunday, mid-90s on Monday and Tuesday, dry. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
.272-9228, that's where we are. Let's listen in on Carl Rove talking about, and it's kind of long here, but he's going to be talking about blue state flipping and why did Trump go to New Mexico, and he's going to give us the answer to that.
Let me see if I can summarize what the campaign strategy is. They're trying to take some blue states that they think they've got a real good chance of flipping come 2020. And they are New Mexico in the Southwest, New Hampshire in the Northeast, Minnesota in the upper Midwest. And you would put Nevada in that. So that's four different states. Do you see this as practical or a pipe dream?
Well, look, different things in different places. New Hampshire, very close election in 2016. He thinks it's his territory. Nevada, again, very close. And Nevada could be in play. What if the Democrats nominate Bernie Sanders, who is in favor of the abolition of private health insurance? One of the things that one of the most powerful groups in Nevada politics is the Culinary Union in Las Vegas. And they use quality, high-quality health insurance to attract members to their union organization and have come out in opposition to Medicare for All. What happens if the Democrats nominate somebody who's in favor of the abolition of private health insurance? No, that could help bring a critical group that is going to at least sit on the sidelines, if not actively working.
What about New Mexico? Is that realistic?
Well, New Mexico, let's talk about that a minute. Why is the Trump campaign interested in New Mexico? They initially were interested in New Mexico because they had a big rally in El Paso, Texas. And they now keep meticulous track of everybody who asks for a ticket, and then they lay that against the voter file immediately so they get a good idea who those people are. A large number, they felt, of low-propensity Latino Democrats wanted to come to the rally and did. And they were from New Mexico. So the southern New Mexico is very different than northern New Mexico. Southern New Mexico is dependent more on the energy business in what's called Little Texas, the southeastern corner of New Mexico. Very different than the Latino population in the far north of New Mexico, which literally came to this country. Many of their families can trace themselves back to the 1600s. So very different populations, very different attitude. But this caused them to say, is New Mexico in play? And one of the things that could happen here, again, is New Mexico's economy is being driven, the economic growth is being driven in substantial part by the energy in the southeast part and the northwestern part of the state. And these areas use fracking. They rely upon drilling on federal land.
The other night too, right?
Yeah, yeah, and he punched that button pretty hard the other night, and that was deliberate.
You probably make a similar case on energy in Minnesota. What about New Hampshire? What's moving in that state?
Well, let me say one thing.
What you're emphasizing are the issues. Keep going.
And Minnesota is rural, and then in the Iron Range, the northeastern part of the country, it's unions and mining and energy. Mining development and materials like timber. So we don't know how. Likely these are. Two states were close. One state was moderately close, Minnesota. New Mexico was 8 points. But on the other hand, look, Bob Dole lost West Virginia in 1996 by 16 points. If you only looked at the states and how they performed in the last couple of elections, you might have said, don't waste any time in West Virginia. But as you recall, George W. Bush did spend time in West Virginia, made a massive effort to take the state, and won it by 6 points. Because that 22-point swing in the vote because of coal. The Democrats had a war on coal.
It's a good point. It's interesting.
But issues will drive.
We've got Lindsey Graham coming up here on this breaking news. Just show me the bottom of your board. You're playing defense where?
Just remember, in the West, they're playing defense in Arizona, which was much closer than it has traditionally been. And so they're going to have to play defense in the West as well as go on off.
Okay, so kind of interesting things, you know, people forget 3M stands for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company. And when you go north of Minneapolis in that area, he called the Iron Ring, and I've always thought of it as the mining area. It really is very, very rural. And once you get out of Minneapolis, it's just these small towns after small town after small town. And I think that the whole Representative Omar and some of the things that have been going on, because my home office is in Minneapolis, and I think that's starting to change the way people are looking at things. And now we have, Ameriprise does this big thing where we have people that work at home, but they are connected to the home office. So I make a telephone call, I could be talking to somebody who's sitting in their home working. And that's a very big thing with my company. But when I talk to them and ask them a little bit about what they're thinking politically, I don't ask them necessarily, are they a Trump supporter, but just what's the political tone and tenor there, they'll tell me. And it's very different than where it was 3 years ago. Very different. I think people are seeing the, particularly in my company, they're seeing the rise of business and more business, and the economy is doing well. My company is doing extremely well because the stock market is doing extremely well. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to David. David, welcome aboard.
Afternoon, Dan.
How are you?
Good. You know, it's going to be interesting because if you do have someone like Elizabeth Warren who gets the nod from the Democrats and, you know, is for Medicare for all, that's not going to go over well with your union people.
No, it's not. He said Bernie Sanders, but the same thing applies to Elizabeth Warren. And there's new polling data that came out today that Kamala Harris is dropping like a stone, and Elizabeth Warren is moving up.
Right, right. But, you know, especially like the UAW, you know, that's one of the reasons they're striking is for better health benefits. You think they're going to put up with having their health care taken away from them and thrown onto a government system?
Yeah, particularly UAW.
And the steel workers, you know, people like that, you know, there's no way. And the mining unions, you know, and all the talk of, you know, shutting down mines and stuff like that for, you know, carbon reasons and all, you know, that's not just a West Virginia, Pennsylvania issue. That's a Nevada, Utah, Montana, Wyoming, you know, Arizona type issue with all the mining they do out west as well. So that's not going to fly with them either. So I think, you know, I think that there's a real opening there for Trump in some of those western states.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Karl Rove pointed out why he went to New Mexico, because of all the people that were requesting tickets from New Mexico for that El Paso rally.
Right, yeah. I lived in New Mexico for about half a year, and I can tell you that from Albuquerque north is liberal. From Albuquerque, south of Albuquerque to the Mexican border is fairly conservative, and there is a lot of energy, again, a lot of mining, a lot of gas, oil in those areas south of Albuquerque. And the town I lived in, it was strictly built on oil and gas.
Yeah, it's interesting. That part of New Mexico is like an extension of Texas.
It is. It's, you know, as a matter of fact, they joke, I lived right on the Texas-Mexico border. And they joked about the town I lived in being like Little Odessa, you know, because it's all up on the Permian Basin. And I could see that swinging Trump's way if the Democrats do end up, you know, putting like an Elizabeth Warren up for the presidency.
How do you think Elizabeth Warren would play up in the northern part of the state, the Albuquerque, Santa Fe portion?
Oh, she'd be a hit there. That's like Texas with, you know, the area around Austin. You know, it's ultra liberal.
Yeah,
you
arts
know, there
and crafting.
In Austin. Yeah, exactly. Just like Taos, Santa Fe, up in those areas are, you know, both very artsy areas. And you know, so that would definitely swing. Albuquerque North would swing Democrat.
Yes.
But I think the opening is south.
Santa Fe is a beautiful place, but
it is. So is Taos. You know,
it is,
places.
But you don't talk politics in a bar from with my background.
No,
that didn't
whatsoever.
Work out very well.
So have a good one, Dan.
Thanks, David. Appreciate you. Yeah, I thought that y'all would find that interesting, particularly the New Mexico part of that equation. Somebody said that, and I'm trying to read an article and do a radio show, but said that an AR-15 was used by the guy, and
at the Georgia incident, the homeowner had an AR-15.
He did?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, that's what somebody said. I looked at the story, and I didn't get that out of it, but I was trying to do a radio show also. But that's interesting that if that is true, they did not mention that. Because you have three youth that have guns, and you have one have pistols, and you have one that has an AR-15. That kind of gives you the answer of why you want to have an AR-15.
I'll try to double check that here.
We'll try to check out on that. Let's pick up on Lindsey Graham here. We have the Inspector General Horowitz, who's up on the Hill today. We're going to get into that with Catherine Herridge and such. But Lindsey Graham was on with Sean Hannity last night, and he's going to start out. You remember on the Kavanaugh hearing how he railed about that, one of the best speeches, impromptu speeches that I've ever heard Lindsey Graham or anybody kind of give. Really good. But he's going to be talking about the impeachment of Kavanaugh by the damn Democrats.
This is hell. This is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade.
Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, one of the most powerful moments of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings last year. Well, the left is still not done smearing Justice Kavanaugh. He joins us now. I think that was your finest moment, and you've had a lot of good moments over your career.
Thank you.
But you now see it doesn't stop. And even Dick Durbin said this idea of impeaching. What is your reaction to the Times? Because it's no different than what happened that day than you spoke up.
Well, when you think you've hit bottom, you really haven't when it comes to Trump. It's not really news that the New York Times did a sloppy job reporting about Trump and Kavanaugh because they're so biased. But what is news to me is that two United States senators running for president have called for Kavanaugh's impeachment based on an article in the New York Times that's bogus. And a member of the House has introduced an impeachment resolution of Judge Kavanaugh based on a erroneous, scurrilous New York Times story. So here's what I want you to know. Any impeachment of Judge Kavanaugh based on the New York Times story is dead on arrival in the Senate. Any impeachment of President Trump based on the Mueller report is dead on arrival in the United States Senate.
That'll wait, Lindsey. And let me tell you something. I think that they're really hurting themselves by doing this. That whole thing yesterday was just a dog and pony show produced very, very poorly. There, Cohen, that the Tennessee guy who ate the chicken.
Right, yeah.
Man, somebody just needs to go and box that kid's ears. I mean, he is just obnoxious. He is obnoxious. And Corey Lewandowski, who doesn't look like he's kind of the quickest guy around, did a great job.
He did a fantastic job. Whoever prepped him.
Really good job. And he's looks like he's going to run for the Senate in New Hampshire. Talk about a name ID boost. He got it with that. Without a doubt.
Yeah, earlier on the station, we played that opening segment where Nadler's coming out the gate, and Lewandowski's whole strategy is, could you cite in the Mueller report where that is? And Nadler was thrown for a loop off his game for, I think, the rest of the hearing. And Doug Collins, a ranking member who we've gotten to know through clips, especially being on Sean Hannity's show, did a fantastic job tagging in and throwing Nadler off even more.
Yeah.
I was a little worried before the hearing.
I was concerned myself.
And to watch the Democrats just crumble, and I think even some of their activists and operatives are admitting that did not go well, it's a good day in America.
Well, and the thing, when you add that, and then people talking about impeachment, and then you had Elizabeth Warren saying that Kavanaugh should be impeached, Kamala Harris saying the exact same thing, in instantaneous lightning-fast speed, that's going to come back and bite them. Now, I think Kamala Harris did so poorly, she dropped 6 points in this poll.
Yeah, and the more you hear her talk, the less impressive she becomes.
Yeah. I mean, she just,
it's interesting.
Everything to her is a quip.
Yep.
And she's trying to everything is trying to score points instead of coming out with a substantive manner. Everything that she's saying is what she thinks you want to hear, and that just doesn't play very well. So let's continue on with Lindsey Graham talking about the FISA warrants.
I'm getting a little antsy whether or not they're going to conclude what I know to be true, and that is that those four FISA application warrants were full of lies that they were warned about. Russian lies that Hillary paid for. The bulk of information, a famous memo was put out, has your name on it. I want to hear in no uncertain terms, those warrants were illegally obtained. Do you think I'm likely to hear that?
You know, I really don't know. Horowitz did a good job, I think, when it came to the Clinton email investigation. He's not a prosecutor. He doesn't have the ability to subpoena and interview witnesses outside of the DOJ or the FBI. But here's what I do believe. I do believe the warrant process was abused. And not only do I hope he will tell us that it was off the rails, I hope the FISA court will take the report seriously. I'm looking for the FISA court to clean this mess up. If the court doesn't take corrective action, why should we trust the court in the future? I'm looking for Durham to hold these people accountable if they did, in fact, take the law in their own hands. I'm not looking to prosecute somebody because I don't like them. I'm trying to make sure this never happens again.
I'll tell you something that in my group has kind of picked up in this. People are kind of backing away from the prosecution of things, and you kind of heard him allude to this, but let the FISA court deal with the FISA warrant and bring the people in front of them and let them, because the thing that was done was contempt of court. That is ironclad. Judge can make that decision. Judge can do that ruling, and he goes send him to jail right then and there. It's his opinion whether it's contempt of court. If in their opinion it is, and you lied in the court, boom, it's done. You don't have to. There's no other process you go through. And I think considering FISA is about to be reapplied for, I think that'd be smart on the FISA court's part to do that. I think legislators are going to rework the law, because I think we're going to find out you can run a train through it. Now, some of the Durham stuff, that's different. But I have a sense that that's what's going to happen with FISA and the FISA court. Tim, hang on for me. Going to a break. Coming back to you right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American-run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
Here it comes, radio's most exciting game for fabulous prizes, the Name Game. Do you have a name? Incredible prizes can be yours just by playing Blue Water Broadcasting's The Name Game.
Winning is simple. You've got a name. Register online at our station website.
Win fantastic prizes such as a sportsman's package, a cruise, a big screen TV, dining experiences, and jewelry.
We'll call out names all week long. Hear your name called? Lucky you. You have the rest of that hour to call in and qualify. Make sure your friends and family are listening for your name too. It's the Name Game from Blue Water Broadcasting,
the River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
.27 2928 is where we are. As promised, let's go to the phones and let's go to Tim. Tim, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Danny boy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Tim, and you?
I'm doing good. Boy, what exciting times to be alive.
There it is, you indeed. Know,
it's certainly interesting. You know, I just, the more the Democrats talk, you know, the bigger the hole is, I feel like they're digging for themselves, because you know, 60% of Americans, I don't think they're buying into this whole socialist agenda. I mean, Trump is, I think, sitting at a good place where he could just say, hey, look at Venezuela. How's that working out, you know, in Cuba? You can name an array of countries that have tried socialism and it's not working, and that's where the Democratic Party wants to take us. And what a strong argument to give to the American people. Of course, there are libtards out there that believe anything and want all the freebies and everything, but it just doesn't work, and history has proven that out. If anybody would do just a little bit of history research on socialism, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know, you got to go Trump.
I'm with you. I think they're making a tactical error here. I think the fact that Elizabeth Warren moved up in the polls on the YouGov poll, that is big, and it's. I don't think they can sell it. I don't think it can get sold in California, get sold in New Jersey, get sold in New York, get sold in Connecticut. But boy, you get down to Florida, you get to Michigan, Pennsylvania, I don't think that's going to fly.
Yeah. I mean, just, I'm of the opinion, let the Democrats rant and rave, because the more they talk, the stupider, if that's a word, they sound. And they just are digging a grave for themselves. And I think Trump's going to have a big win. I don't think we need to put our head in the sand and just not, you know, just assume so. We need to get out and vote and encourage everybody to do so. But I'm 70 years old, and I've never seen anything like this in my adult life. It's just interesting and almost entertaining to see what is happening and to see how far left the Democrats have gone. I never would have believed it. I just never would have believed it. So absolutely out there that they're so liberal that I think Trump's going to get reelected, and I say, hey, let the Dems talk. The more they talk, the better off Trump is.
Yeah, let me tell you what, if Elizabeth Warren is at the top of the ticket, I'm in absolute agreement with you, though the economy has to still be churning along the way it is right now.
Yeah. Hey, have a great day.
Thanks.
Tell Joe I said hey.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you. Let me give you some examples here in this polling. Biden at 26, Warren at 21%.
Wow.
Sanders at 14, he lost several points. Harris is down to 6. She went from 11 to 6 points. Buttigieg, 9%. Yang at 3%. O'Rourke, our buddy, 3%. Booker, 2. Your lady, Gabbard.
I like
2%.
Tulsi. I do like Tulsi.
Yeah, only because you like her exercise videos, right?
A little more than that, but yeah, you've kind of got me back.
Klobuchar, 1. Castro, down to 1. Steyer and Bennett, 0.
I could almost see this as the top 3 can make it all the way to the convention, I think. I think there's enough money and support in that regard. Even if Bernie keeps dropping, I think he has enough money to go the long haul. And I'm fascinated with, especially if some of these other lower senators and people like Beto drop out, then I'm fascinated that Andrew Yang is at 3%. I was surprised because he started again as a no-name.
Yeah, he's, and the exposure he's getting through YouTube and then on the debates, I think it's kind of working for him here. Here's one. Get ready for the warning
yes.
thing. In Florida, Trump versus Biden. Biden 49%, Trump 50%.
Uh-oh.
That's in Florida. Florida with Warren. Trump 50%, Warren 50%. Trump against Sanders 50 to 49. Trump against Harris 52 to 48.
So as we get closer and Trump starts to slowly define his opponents in the left in general, I think it'll only get worse once it's clear who the actual candidate for the Democrats
will be. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, there were polls that I was looking at, particularly from the same group, Florida Atlantic University, FAU, that was showing, you know, Biden ahead of Trump in Florida by 15 points. Now, they're starting to change their model to likely Democrat voters in particular. I think that's why Biden is kind of holding there, but Warren is moving up. Let's do the warning.
All right.
could accept the fact that this city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
As promised, gave you the warning. We're going to get John to about 2.5 minutes over the close of the show for this hour. Let's go to the phones to John DeVoe. John, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I am doing great.
Same here. Hey, Joey.
Hey, John.
I've been cleaning up around my apartment, and I can finally see the light.
That's good.
But listen, I think Kamala Harris has what it takes to win. I think she has what it takes to be the first woman president of the United States of America.
Well, she's not doing very well in the polls.
Yeah, I heard you mention her name. How do you say she's doing in the polls?
She's dropped. She dropped 5 points down to 6%. She was at 11%. Air out of her tires down to 6%, and most of those people went to Elizabeth Warren.
I believe that Kamala Harris had what it takes to be the first woman president, not black woman or white woman, but the first woman president of the United States of America. She's a former attorney general for the state of California. And I believe that woman can win. If women all over this country got behind her, she wins.
Yeah, you're right, but they're not getting behind her.
What do you think it'll take for them to get behind her?
She's going to have to do a lot better than she's doing right now.
And unfortunately, John, the big thing you said, former AG of the state of California, actually hurts her a lot with some Democratic primary voters. They don't like her prosecutorial record, let's say.
Well, how do you all think the mayor's race is looking? Who do you think is going to win that?
I don't know. We're going to have David Woods on next Monday. I'm not sure. Election Day will tell us a lot when I drive around and see the polls.
Have you had Stephen Reed on yet?
I have not had Stephen Reed on yet. Haven't had anybody yet.
Yeah, hopefully you have both of them on. I've met them both. I think that they're fine people. I've met both of their wives, and I think that I like both of their wives. So I think with both of those candidates, you know, whichever one of them the city of Montgomery chooses to elect, I think they both would make fine mayors, and I think and I like both of them and their spouses. I think they're both fine people.
Okay. Well, appreciate your letting us know how you feel about it. John, have a great day. Got to go. News Show 93.1. Dan Moore Show heading to the top of the hour break.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV. Whoa.